David, King at Hebron, Chapter 72. David and his men watch a man approaching the ruins of their burnt city of Ziklag. His clothing is rent, and earth is upon his head. It is now the third day since David has returned to Ziklag with the women and children whom he had delivered from the Amalekites. With great anxiety he awaits the result of the battle between Saul and the Philistines. Who will be the winner? Daily he looks for tidings. Now he sees a messenger approaching, and he immediately thinks this messenger is coming from Israel. His heart begins to beat more rapidly. He can see by the messenger's actions that he is coming with evil tidings. The messenger finally arrives and bows low before David. "From where do you come?" asks David. "I have come from the camp of Israel," is his reply. "What has happened there?" asks David eagerly. "Israel is defeated," says the stranger. "Many soldiers are slain. Saul and Jonathan also are dead." "How do you know that Saul and Jonathan are dead?" asks David suspiciously, while he eyes this stranger carefully. "Well," he answers, "as I was walking over the battlefield, I saw Saul, who was being pursued by the Philistines. He called to me and asked me to kill him. This I did immediately. I killed him and quickly took the crown from his head. I also took his other jewelry so that the Philistines could not get these ornaments. Here are these kingly ornaments." Triumphantly, he gives these golden objects to David. He expects David to be glad and to give him a big reward. For this reason, he lies. He really did not kill Saul. Saul had killed himself. However, David is not happy. He thinks it a sad thing to have so many soldiers of his nation slain. He is sad because of Saul's death, but he is especially grieved over the death of his faithful friend Jonathan. "Perhaps we would be glad if a great enemy of ours died in a mishap, would we not?" But David does not rejoice in Saul's death. "Who are you?" he asks sternly. "I am an Amalekite," replies the messenger fearlessly. David becomes angry when he hears this. "What? Does an Amalekite, a heathen, an enemy of Israel, have the courage to kill Saul, who was anointed by the Lord to be king?" He trembles with indignation. "What?" he exclaims. "Are you not ashamed of depriving the king of Israel of his life?" David turns to one of his servants and commands him, saying, "Slay that murderer of the king." Immediately this order is carried out. Instead of receiving a great reward, he is cast down and slain. "It is your own fault," says David. "You should have helped the king of Israel, for he was the Lord's anointed." An army marches through the gates of Hebron, a city which lies to the south of the land occupied by the tribe of Judah. It is marching toward the north. A few hours later, at the city of Gibeon, this army meets another army. Soon these two armies stand opposite each other, ready for a battle. "What? War again? Fighting again?" "Yes, children. But now it is no ordinary war, but it is a civil war. Both armies consist of Israelites. The one army which came out of Hebron is David's, the king of Judah. After the death of Saul, David, upon the Lord's command, left Ziklag and went to Hebron. The men of the tribe of Judah had anointed him to be their king. The other army which had gone against David's army was Ishbosheth's army. Ishbosheth? Who is he? Ishbosheth is the son of Saul. Three sons of Saul had been slain on the Mount of Gilboa, but Ishbosheth had remained at home. After Israel's terrible defeat, Abner, Saul's general, had fled over Jordan to Mahanaim and took Ishbosheth with him. In Mahanaim, Abner made Ishbosheth king over the other tribes of Israel. Now there were two kings. David, as king over Judah, lived in Hebron. Ishbosheth, as king over the other tribes of Israel, lived in Mahanaim. But Abner was not satisfied. Ishbosheth also must be king over Judah. Therefore he musters his army and marches toward Hebron. He wants to drive David from Hebron. However, David hears of this, and he too calls his army together. David does not go along. He remains in Hebron. But his nephew Joab, a son of David's sister Zeruiah, is his general, and he leads the army of David. These are the two armies which meet together at the pool of Gibeon. These are men of the same nation. Is not this terrible? Who will begin? Who will dare begin? Hearken! Abner is calling to Joab. Let a few of your soldiers and a few of my soldiers play with each other. What now? Must they play together? No, Abner does not mean a real play. He means that they should fight a duel together, for life or death. He calls this playing. 12 soldiers of Joab's army and 12 soldiers of Abner's army walk toward each other. They will fight instead of the entire army. And then, it is almost too terrible to relate. They catch hold of one another, and all 24 are slain. 24 strong young men kill each other. In many different families, there will be mourning and sorrow over those who are slain. Abner mockingly calls this playing. Isn't that most dreadful? Who has won the victory? Neither Joab nor Abner. Now the battle between the soldiers of Joab and Abner breaks loose in full fury. Before long, Abner's army runs away in full retreat. He loses the battle, and he himself must flee for his life. There goes Abner, as fast as he can run, so that Joab's soldiers will not kill him. Soon Abner notices someone running behind him. He is being pursued. By whom? Abner quickly looks around. Ah, he sees who it is. It is Asahel, a younger brother of Joab, also a nephew of David. Now Asahel could run extremely fast, faster than Abner. Therefore he came closer and closer to Abner. Is that you, Asahel? Asks Abner. Yes, he answers briefly. Turn away from pursuing me, Asahel, said Abner. Pursue me no longer, for otherwise I must kill you in defending myself. I do not want to do that, because I have more experience with war than you do. I do not want to kill you. That was very noble of Abner, children. He warned Asahel. But Asahel would not listen. Asahel is haughty. He wants to kill Abner, for then he will receive the honor of this victory. Abner again calls, Asahel, turn away from me. Be wise. Listen to me. But Asahel will not listen. He still continues to run after Abner. So Abner must defend himself, otherwise he will be slain. Suddenly Abner smote Asahel under the fifth rib with the back end of the spear. Alas, Asahel lays dead upon the ground. But it is his own fault. Abner warned him twice. Finally, the battle is over. 20 men of David's army are slain. But 360 men are dead of Ishbosheth's army. Civil war is always dreadful. Abner returns to Mahanaim. His plan to drive David from Hebron has failed. Joab goes back to Hebron. This civil war lasted for years, but David became stronger, and Ishbosheth became weaker. It could not be otherwise, because David was a king in God's favor. David received help from the Lord, but Ishbosheth did not. It is a very warm summer's day. In the house where Ishbosheth lives, it is quiet and peaceful. The king has just finished eating and has gone to his bedroom. He is sleeping peacefully. Two men carefully sneak into his house. They have a sack with them. They come as though they would fetch some wheat. Very quietly they walk to the bed upon which Ishbosheth lies sleeping. And what then? Oh, such cowards! Suddenly they stab to death the sleeping king. They murder him. They cut off the head of Ishbosheth, flee from the house, leave the city, and go into the open fields. Who are these cowardly murderers? They are two captains, two officers of Ishbosheth. Baana and Rechab are their names. But where is Abner, the general of Ishbosheth at this time? Couldn't he and mustn't he take care of the king? He surely should have guarded the king. Abner is not alive. He is dead. Killed in battle? No, he too was murdered. Murdered? By whom? Already 7.5 years have passed since Saul fell upon his sword and died. David has been king in Hebron for 7.5 years. Many things have changed during this time. David continually becomes stronger, and Ishbosheth becomes weaker. Abner tries, but cannot win against David. That is a grief to him. Nothing went good for Abner. All went wrong. When Abner saw that everything was against him, he made a league with David. From now on, he decided to help David. He goes to Hebron. He visits David, so that he can speak quietly with him. The king is very friendly to him, and they part the best of friends. Shortly after, Joab comes into the city. He hears that Abner has been there, and secretly he calls Abner back. Abner returns. He is not aware of anything. Why should he not return? Then, unexpectedly, Joab kills Abner. Why? Well, Joab is angry at Abner for killing his brother Asahel. But that was Asahel's own fault. Abner had warned him twice. Still, Joab slew Abner out of revenge. Joab also was afraid that David would make Abner a general, and that he would not grant Abner. He wanted to be David's only general. David frightens when he hears what has happened. Oh, the Israelites will now think that he wanted Abner killed, that it was done by his orders, and this is not true. He has Abner buried respectfully and goes along to the grave. All Israel can now see that David is not guilty of this murder. When Ishbosheth is told that his general is dead, he is discouraged. He can do nothing anymore. His efforts are in vain. He is afraid of David. Indeed, he had been afraid of David before Abner had been murdered. He had not dared refuse David when David had demanded him to return his wife to him. Ishbosheth had obeyed David by getting Michal from Phaltiel, the man to whom Saul had given his daughter. Abner was still alive at that time. So it is no wonder that Ishbosheth is sorrowful and discouraged when his most capable general Abner is murdered. Everything is a failure. Shortly after this, he is killed by Baana and Rechab, as we have just told you. Two men walk through the gates of Hebron into the city. "Where does the king live?" they ask. They are shown the way. They walk into the palace of David and lay the head of Ishbosheth before David. David is frightened. "How do you happen to have that?" he asks. Then they tell him everything. They tell him that they had murdered Ishbosheth while he was sleeping peacefully. They expect David to give them a gift, a reward. As they look at the king, they become afraid. David looks at them with contempt. "Cowards! Murderers!" he cries. "Do you expect a reward? You, who have murdered in his sleep a guiltless person? How dare you come here?" All are quiet. Everyone waits in suspense, wondering what the outcome will be. Probably Baana and Rechab are white with fear. "Slay them," David orders sternly. A few soldiers rush forward, kill the two men, and hang their bodies outside the city. That is their just reward. David respectfully buried Ishbosheth's head in the same grave where Abner's body had been laid. The Israelites now see that Ishbosheth has not been murdered on David's command.